Blog Talk Radio.
Make that summer we bless still with food. Me a running all the blessings are running back. Me a dead, dead, dead. Imagine close the stars, the cast, the copper, and over what to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm in the priest. Hey! Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. Hey, I'm too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. I'm so glad that you've tuned in with me tonight. We've been studying having faith in the midst of trouble, having faith in the midst of trouble, and our subtopic for tonight is let God lead you, let God lead you. Just before we pray, I just want to give a shout out or a quick hello to Brother Uhart, Second Chance Ministries, and our friends down in Fort Lauderdale. We thank them so much for allowing us to use their music for this program. And we know that God is truly blessing those of you who tune in to this program. We know that your families are blessed by sharing of the Word of God. And we pray that you'll continue to allow God to do great things in your life. Why don't you bow your head and let us pray. Father, we just bless you on tonight. We thank you, Lord God, because you've truly been good to us. We thank you, O God, because you are truly worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Lord God, I just thank you tonight for being so wonderful, Lord. You've truly brought us from such a mighty long way. And Lord, we know that there are all types of things going on in the community that might serve to distract our attention. But Lord, we thank you because you allow us to put our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, whenever we turn our eyes in the wrong direction, you bring our focus back to you. And Lord, we thank you right now. We thank you for nations around the world, God, that will tune into this program. Lord, nations in the north, south, east, and west. We thank you for families around the world, oh God, that you are blessing right now. We thank you, Lord, for the nation of Sudan and how they have gotten their independence. And Father God, so many other nations that are truly seeking your face and seeking to know you. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to continue to preach and to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just thank you right now. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Open up our understanding, O God, and we say thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our subtopic for tonight is let God lead you. Let God lead you. Because in the midst of all that you're going through, I want you to know that God is able to lead you. He is able to direct you. God is still in control, my friend. God is still in control. If you would turn your Bible with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, the Bible says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof war and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he had made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He turneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Dear friend, I want to just remind you tonight that God is your refuge and your strength. It does not matter what you're facing in your life. It does not matter the challenges that the enemy would throw to try to make you succumb to the cares of this world. I want you to know that in the midst of all of that, you can put your trust in Jesus, because he is going to help you. He is going to give you strength. The Bible says that he is a very present help. That means that God is a right now help for your situation. I don't care what your bank account looks like. I don't care what your health looks like. The bottom line is that God is able. He is able to touch your finances. He is able to touch your body. He is able to do all things, because God is a God of the impossible. The Bible says that he is a present help in the time of trouble. And a present help to me means that he's going to help you right now. It does not mean tomorrow, the next day, or next year. It means that even though you might not see the manifestation of what you're looking for right now, that God has already put things in motion to resolve your problem. He has already put things in motion to make sure that the end result of whatever you're being faced with, whatever you're being challenged with, the end result is that you will come out victorious. You will come out as an overcomer. Why? Because God already has everything worked out for you, my friend. God has it in his hands. He has it under control. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear, because God has already worked it out for you. The Bible says, therefore will not we fear. Verse 2, we do not have to fear what tomorrow holds. I know that it is necessary to plan for your future. It is necessary to plan for your children. It is necessary to plan for retirement. Those are just some things that we ought to do, you know, because we must be wise. But it does not matter what we have set up. The bottom line is, even if we have not done a good job in setting up things for our future, our future is in God's hands, and God is going to take care of us. God is going to meet every need. And so I want to encourage you, while I'm encouraging myself and encouraging all those who are listening to me, I want you to know that God is already working things out for you. And so the Bible says, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And so, when the waters rise about you, and if you were living in Bangladesh and some of those areas a few years ago, the waters literally rose high above the village and what have you. Villages were carried away. Entire families were carried away. And so if you lived in that part of the world, this scripture became very literal for you, because you were able to see houses and everything washed away. And I know that was not a very pleasant thing to have things washed away right around you. But if you were living recently up in New Hampshire in those areas, you saw places, bridges and what have you being washed away and carried away. And so for those people living in those low-lying areas, they saw firsthand what waters do when they rise and they swell and things get carried away. And if you're living in those low areas down there in Fort Lauderdale and different areas of Florida, perhaps you were in Louisiana when Katrina hit, you know firsthand that when there's a hurricane coming, that there's a possibility of something getting washed away, of seeing water swelling and overcoming the beaches and anything that lies in its path. So you understand about water being troubled. Well, the Bible says that even when the waters get troubled and the mountains seem to shake, as it did recently with earthquakes in different places, even when all of that happens, that God has a place of rest, and the Bible refers to it as a river. The Bible says that the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And so the Bible tells us that God prepares a place of rest for all those who will put their trust in him. He prepares a place of peace, a place of comfort for those who will put their trust in him. You see, it is very easy for us to get caught up in problems and caught up in situations that seem difficult for us to resolve. But wouldn't it be so much more reassuring if we would just put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and understand that he has already prepared rest for us. He has already prepared comforting words for us. If we would just take a moment, stop, look, and listen. Stop, look, and listen. You know, a few years ago, that was a Sunday school song in Vacation Bible School. Stop, look, and listen. In other words, stop what you're doing. Look around you and see the things that God has already worked out for you. And listen to the voice of God as he leads you. You see, our subtopic for tonight is let God lead you. In the midst of everything that is going on in your life, stop for a moment. Think, pray, and allow God to lead you, because God wants to lead you. He wants to direct your path, but he's waiting on you to take a break from your busy schedule and to go back to prayer, go back to seeking the face of God, go back to having that quiet time with him. When you were able in the early morning hours or in the late night hours when everyone else was sleeping, you were able to put your ear to the wall or put your face to the wall or put your face to the ground, however you pray, you were able to spend that time hearing from God and hearing him speak to you and hearing him direct you. This is a time in your life, dear friend, when society is troubled and society is troubled with all kind of ailments, whether it is the sin ailment, which is predominant with crime, families breaking apart, all kinds of calamities and what have you. Even these things that they're doing in the parks and they're sitting in the parks and they're doing all of these demonstrations against Wall Street. With all these things that are going on around you, you've got to understand that you do not have to worry about anything, but understand this, that God has already made a way for you. You can have peace in the midst of chaos. When there's chaos all around you, you can put your trust in God. You can depend on him because he has already worked everything out for you, dear friend. Look at verse 5. It says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. And the her referred to Israel. The her referred to the fact that God watches over his people. And once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you too are engrafted in to that family. And so whether you are a her or a him, God watches over you, dear friend. God knows what's going on in your family. He knows what's going on in your finances. He knows what's going on in your body. And he is able to give you the strength that you need to make it another day, another hour. He's able to send you the finances that you need, whether it is in a check or some cash, someone put some cash in your hand. Whatever it is that you need, God can supply every need that you have. Let God lead you in the midst of trouble. Let God lead you. The Bible says in verse 5, God shall help her and that right early, or God shall help him and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. And if you look in the book of Revelations, you'll see that reference is made to melting, because in the last days, when all is said and done, the world will not be destroyed or replenished or what have you through a flood again. But this time, there's going to be some fire. There's going to be some interesting things happening on the face of the earth. So look in the book of Revelations, and you will see the things that are going to come on this earth. Look at verse 8, my friend. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he had made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. One of these days, dear friend, there is going to be a great war in this earth. The Bible refers to it as Armageddon, that there will be great war. And the Bible says that after this, that will be the end of all wars, and that there will be peace on earth. And so Psalms 46 refers to that peace that will one day come on earth. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Dear friend, I want to remind you that in order to hear the voice of God, you must be still. Stop running so much. Stop being in such a big hurry that you don't take time to hear what God is trying to tell you. God has some interesting things to whisper in your ears. He wants to tell you about your future. He wants to tell you about the plans that he has for your life. But you must slow down long enough to hear what God is speaking to you. The Bible says in verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Dear friend, if you haven't heard me already, God is with you. You're not alone. You will never be alone. Every place you go, God is with you to strengthen you, to help you, to guide you, to take care of your husband and your wife and your children. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than you can ask, more than you can think, more than you can perceive with your natural mind. God is doing it for you already. Can I just read for you again Psalms 50? Psalms 50. We've just read Psalms 46. Now look over at Psalms 50 at the first 6 verses. The Bible says, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun until the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare the righteousness for his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Dear friend, over and over again, when we read in the scriptures, especially in the Psalms, I love the Psalms, the Bible reminds us that God is mighty. He is almighty. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omniscient, all-knowing. God is who he says he is. He is the mighty God. Can anyone stand before him? No, they can't. Why? Because when God speaks, things have to move out of their place. You cannot stand before God in your sin and remain in your sin. Because when the power of God comes upon you, he begins to purge you. He begins to cleanse you. He begins to draw out those things in you that you never thought you'd be able to get delivered from. You never thought you'd be able to get set free from those things. But God is able to do it because the Bible says, even the Lord had spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun until the going down thereof. From the very beginning, God spoke. In the book of Genesis, it says, in the beginning, the earth was without form and void. And God just spoke it into existence. He declared it so. He said, let there be light, and there was light. When God speaks, things happen. I want you to know that if you would give God a chance to speak into your life, if you would give God a chance to work in your life, great things will happen in your future. Great things will happen in your family if you would just give God that place, that uppermost place in your heart, in your mind, in your family. You will see him act on your behalf. The Bible says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God had shined. God had shined. God wants to shine in your heart. He wants to shine in the midst of your situation. Whatever it is that you are facing, whatever it is that's going on in your life, God wants to shine in your light. I mean, in the midst of your challenge or your darkness, God wants to shine his light into your situation. Look at verse 3. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him. And that is once again referring to revelations, the things that will come to pass, that a fire will go before the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 5, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So gather my people together. I want to know, what kind of sacrifice have you made in your life? Have you surrendered everything to God? Have you given him every area of your life, all the hidden things of your heart, everything that you have kept to yourself? Have you opened up your heart totally to God and say, God, everything that I am is yours. All that I have belongs to you. I surrender my will. I surrender my heart. I surrender my life, my finances, my children, my loved ones. I surrender everything to you. Have you truly surrendered everything into the hands of God? Because he is asking you for that type of sacrifice. When Jesus called his disciples in the New Testament, when he called his disciples, I want you to go back and study and note, you know, study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I want you to note that every time Jesus called a disciple, that he always asked them to stop what they were doing and follow him. And those who were not able to do that did not become followers of Jesus, because in order to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be willing to put our own agenda aside and say, Lord, what will you have me to do? I am willing to go that extra mile. I am willing to go that extra step to do what you are calling me to do. My friend, if you're not willing to do that, then chances are you need to go back to the altar and ask God to help you to surrender your all to him, because being a follower of Jesus requires sacrifice. Sacrifice. You see, when you are challenged by the cares of this world and the things in society that will easily knock you down, you know, people are so negative and sometimes they're even hostile. You have to have the grace of God. You have to have the peace of God in your heart. You have to understand that God loves you and he cares about you and he wants you to serve him But you have to put aside your own agenda and be willing to take up God's agenda. And, dear friend, I promise you that if you would do that, you will never regret it. You will never regret it because God will make sure that whatever the desires of your heart is, whatever the desires of your heart are, that He will make sure that He meets every need that you have. If you would just put God's business first, everything else in your life will just begin to line up because God is a God of His word. Whatever He promises to do for you, He will do it. Look at verse 7. It says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God." Why would God testify against Israel? Because over and over and over, He had to keep calling the children of Israel back to repentance and back to Him. And once again today, God is calling us to turn away from everything that would hinder us, that would block us, that would stop us from doing great things for God, from serving God with all our hearts and all our minds. He is calling us back into prayer, calling us back into fasting and seeking His face. This is a time for you, dear friend. This is a time for me and all of us and everyone that would hear this teaching. This is a time for us to recognize that Jesus expects us to surrender everything into His hands, because we're living in the last days, and it is time for us to get back to doing the things that we were called to do and to be serious about it, not to be half-hearted about the things of God, but to recognize that whatever we do for God, we must do our best for Him. Let God lead you in the midst of trouble, in the midst of challenges. Let God lead you. That's what God wants to do. He wants to lead you, dear friend. He wants to encourage you. He wants to strengthen you. Allow Him to do that right now. As I was talking about allowing God to lead you and getting back to prayer, there's a book I have in my hand, Fasting Made Simple. It's a book by Paula White. And, you know, some folks love Paula White and others are not big fans of her. You know, I happen to think that in every ministry, there's something that you can glean something from. And Paula White has put out some very good books, and I encourage you to avail yourself of all of the very good authors and books that are out there, and I'll let you know when mine is published and ready for your viewing. But in this book, Fasting Made Simple, a few people were quoted, one of them being John Wesley. John Wesley said, "God does nothing but by prayer and everything with it." And Leonard Ravenhill said, "Quit playing, start praying. Quit feasting, start fasting. Talk less with men, talk more with God. Listen less to men, listen to the words of God. Skip travel and start travail." I'm going to say it one more time. Quit playing, start praying. Quit feasting, start fasting. Talk less with men, talk more with God. Listen less to men, listen to the words of God. Skip travel and start travail. You know, that's an interesting thing that you know, Mr. Ravenhill said. We spend so much time traveling up and down, you know, whether it's to do ministry or anything else. We spend so much time traveling and not enough time travailing. I remember, dear friend, when I first became a Christian, I spent much time in prayer. And that's one of the things that God has been speaking to me about, is getting back into real prayer, where I had a set time and I spent a good hour or more in prayer every single day. Dear friend, if that's not something that you are doing, make that an appointment with God. Make it your business to have an appointment with God to pray and to seek His face. This praying time is what it's going to take in these last days to make it. When you have people all around you that are being challenged with their children, with their families, with their finances, with their health, you've got to be able to have a word of prayer in your mouth to encourage them. You've got to have prayer in your spirit to be able to pray with someone. If you've never considered yourself a prayer warrior, I'm speaking it over your life right now. I'm speaking it, that blessing over your life right now, that God would begin to stir your spirit to pray, that he would begin to stir your heart to prayer. Because you see, dear friend, we need to pray. You cannot stop praying. You cannot stop believing. You cannot stop trusting God, because God is still intervening for us. Jesus said that he sits on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. You cannot stop doing what you're doing. Keep holding on. Keep trusting God. Be encouraged in knowing that even though things around you don't seem like they're going as well as they should, don't worry about what's going on around you. But keep your eyes focused on Jesus, because in the midst of everything, Jesus is still making a way out of no way for you. He still has water springing up in the midst of your desert. Jesus is still there to help you. He still loves you. He still cares about you. When you feel like you're falling down, don't fall down, but hold on to Jesus. He is giving you strength right now. If you will look once again at Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 in the New Testament, the Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also had loved us, and had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So the Bible says, as followers of God, as dear children, we are God's children. He wants us to walk in love. Walk in love. So in other words, even when you don't feel like loving the people around you, still love them. Still pray for them. Still encourage them. Why? Because God has done it for us. Jesus sacrificed his life, and he gave it as a sweet-smelling savor. Why is that comparison made? That comparison is being made because when the priest went to the altar and made the sacrifice on behalf of the people, you will see, if you go back and read it, that offering was a sweet-smelling thing before God, and that God actually took great joy in smelling that offering that was coming up to him, and that Jesus himself gave his life as a sacrifice once and for all, and that his body as a sacrificial offering to God was a sweet-smelling savor, an offering to God on our behalf. Jesus did it once and for all, and so that smell is constantly before the throne of God, that offering has already been made, that sacrifice has already been made for us, and we don't have to worry about doing that again. All we need to do is receive that free gift that Jesus has shed on Calvary for us. Verse 3 said, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." So in other words, because Jesus has already shed his blood for us, he shed his blood on Calvary so that we can walk away from sin. Even when we think we can't do it, we can think about the fact that God has given us the strength to do it, and yes, walk away from that sin. Walk away from temptation. Walk away from coveting or longing or being jealous of what someone else has. You don't have to be jealous of what anyone else has, but understand this, that what is for you is for you. Your blessing has your name on it, and no one else can take your blessing. God has already prepared it for you, and no one else can step into the blessing that God already has for you. Look at verse 4. It says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor jesting which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You know, I remember when I first became a Christian, people used to whisper about me underneath their breath because I was just so serious about the things of God. Dear friend, when you become serious about the things of God, other people around you might not care to be around you because you're too serious. And it does not mean that a person who is serious about God can't laugh and talk with folks, but what you laugh and talk with people about, it's going to be different than anyone else, because what you laugh at will not be dirty jokes. What you laugh at will not be silly things. You will have natural joy of the Lord that when you're laughing, it will be about how good God is and how wonderful it is. And, you know, regular everyday jokes like, you know, perhaps, you know, like my daughter, I remember when she was little, she would, you know, you have the table and the chair, and the table is close up to the chair, and she would creep in between the table and the chair and get her head stuck in between that. You know, that's cute. That might tickle you a little bit. You know, there's some natural things in the flesh that might tickle you. They're naturally funny. They're not dirty. They're not, you know, pornographic or anything like that. But when it becomes something that people are talking and jesting and it's foolish, you know, they're talking about pornography and they're talking about filthiness as far as people selling drugs or carrying guns and what have you, and they think it's funny, and they're laughing and they're talking about it. You know, if you're giving a testimony about what you used to do in the right context, you're in the pulpit and you're telling how God delivered you from something, that's very different than you having a conversation one-on-one with someone where you're boasting about the sins that you used to do. There's a big difference. And so the Bible refers to this foolish talking or this jesting. Jesting means that you're laughing about things that are not even true. You know, people tell lies and then they turn around and say, well, I was just joking. Well, Christians ought not to be lying. And so we can't do that type of joking. The Bible says these things are not convenient. So that means that they're not necessary. They're not something that we ought to be doing. But we should instead give thanks to God. In other words, our speech and our thoughts should be pure. We should be thinking about Jesus and giving him honor and praise in our behavior, in our actions, in our speech. The Bible says in verse 5, for this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who's an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And so the Bible refers to the fact that those who spend all their time, you know, doing the wrong thing in their flesh, you know, sleeping around and sleeping with someone who is not their wife or their husband and doing all manner of things, these people need to get themselves together. They need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. They need to ask Jesus to forgive them and make it right with God. So the Bible says those who are idolaters. An idolater is someone who will put anything before God, whether it's a statue or a person or a material goods. Anything that you put before God is idolatry, because God should be first and foremost in your life, and then everything else should fall into place after that. And so the Bible tells us that there is no place in the kingdom of God for that. And so we must repent. You know, if you find yourself in one of these categories, just repent. The Bible says that Jesus did not come to condemn, but he came to give life. And so no one is condemning you for this behavior. What we're saying is that, what I'm saying is that if you find yourself in that situation, ask God to forgive you. And when he does forgive you, the Bible says that he puts that in the sea of forgetfulness. In other words, he remembers your sin no more. And so you don't have to think that, well, gosh, I asked God to forgive me, but for some reason I just don't feel like I've been forgiven. The Bible says the moment you ask God to forgive you, he has already done it. He has already done it. You don't have to be ashamed anymore. You don't have to feel guilt anymore. The moment you ask God to forgive you, he has already done it, dear friend. Look at verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. So one of these days, those who decide that they do not want to serve God, there is going to come a day when God will judge them. And the Bible says, don't be a partaker. So when people are engaged in things that are not pleasing to God, don't involve yourself in that, but take yourself out of that situation. Verse 8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So let God lead you in the midst of all of this. Let God lead you. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And so, dear friend, we understand that the Lord wants us to walk in the Spirit and to show forth the fruit of his Spirit, which, what are the fruits of his Spirit? Goodness, righteousness. Understanding that one of these days, Jesus is coming back soon and very soon, and we should not be so caught up with people who are doing the wrong thing that we forget the call of God on our lives. And the Bible says, you know, we can't even discuss what these people are doing in secret. But I just want you to remember, dear friend, that whatsoever is done in secret shall be brought out into the light. So I want to encourage you to walk in the light. I want to encourage you to do what God is calling you to do. Let God lead you. In the midst of everything, let God lead you. Let God lead you. Look at verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever does make manifest is the light. So in other words, God is going to shine his light in the midst of darkness. Whenever anyone is doing anything that is wrong, that is breaking a commandment of God, God is going to make manifest. He is going to reveal it. Look at verse 14. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God is calling each and every one of us to understand that we should awake from slumber, we should awake from complacency, and we should acknowledge that God is calling us to recognize that he has great work for us to do, to recognize that we need to change our lives. How can we change our lives? By surrendering it to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus gave his life on Calvary for you. He gave his life for you. I'm going to read that one more time. I am crucified with Christ. That's Galatians 2, verse 20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What kind of life are you living in the flesh? Do you understand that God called you? And he called you to serve him. He called you for such a time as this. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, Be wise in what you do. Be wise in who you keep company with. Be wise in who you call friend. Be wise in who you surround yourself with. Why? Because God is calling you. He is calling you in these last and what the Bible calls evil days. The Bible, look at verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The Bible tells us that the days are evil and that God is calling us to redeem the time. What does that mean? That means pay attention to what's going on in history. Pay attention to what's going on in the news and understand that Jesus is coming back soon and very soon. Verse 17 says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In the midst of all that you're going through, let God lead you. Pray and ask him to reveal his will for your life. Pray and ask him to direct you. Pray and ask him to help you. Why? Because he loves you very much, and he wants you to be successful. He wants your business to be successful. He wants your personal life to be successful. He wants your social life among your peers, you know, your fellow Christians to be successful. Because when you have favor with God, you will also have favor with men. God wants to bless you, dear friend. And so I want to encourage you that if you have not yet begun to seriously do what God has called you to do, I want you to take some time and think and pray and ask God to direct you. O. Hallisby, out of the book Fasting Made Simple, said, to strive in prayer means to struggle through those hindrances which would restrain or even prevent us entirely from continuing in persevering prayer. It means to be so watchful at all times that we can notice when we become slothful in prayer and that we go to the spirit of prayer to have this remedied. In this struggle, too, the decisive factor is the spirit of prayer. Oswald Chambers said, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. You know, many people have said, well, if you pray, you know, God will prepare you. Well, prayer is the biggest thing that you can do when God has called you. Take time out of your schedule and pray. Why? Because you cannot hear from God until you begin to pray. Dear friend, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage every friend that will hear this message to allow God to lead you in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your challenges. If you will allow God to lead you and direct you, you will see great things happening in your life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I want you to know that God is waiting on you to trust him. He is waiting on you to allow him to direct you. I don't know what you're waiting on, but don't stop. Don't keep procrastinating, but understand that God is calling you for great things. I want you to know that this is your season to be blessed. This is your year to be blessed. We are moving out of an old year and moving into a new year, but I want you to know that whatever things that you need to shake off, go ahead and shake it off, because God has great things in your future. God has great plans for you, and this is your season to be blessed. Romans chapter 9, verse 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want to encourage you, dear friend, to continue serving the Lord. And if you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is your moment. This is your hour to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't wait till tomorrow for what you can do today, because tomorrow was not promised to any one of us. So this is your time to commit and to surrender your life completely to the Lord. Our thoughts that we close each program with is persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can. And what you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, I don't know what you have been striving to accomplish in your personal life, but I want you to know that if you have a dream that God has given you, don't give up on that dream. Don't give up on the things that God has placed in your heart to do, because if God has called you to do it, then he will make a way for you to be able to do it. God bless you, dear friend. Let us pray. And after the prayer, I want you to stay with me just for a few more minutes as we give you a song by Second Chance Ministries. Bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, I just give you glory, honor, and praise. I bless you. I lift up your holy name. Lord, I pray that you would truly touch. I pray for that one that is struggling right now with some things in their heart, maybe some people that they need to forgive, maybe some things that they need to forgive themselves about. God, I pray that you would truly touch right now. I pray for that one that needs to be healed. I pray for that one that is having some chest pains, God, that you would heal right now. God, I pray for that one, God, with diabetes. God, the one with the gallbladder problem, oh God. Pray, oh God, for the one that is having some aches in their lower back right now. I pray that you would heal and deliver. We pray for that one with cancer right now. We know that you're able to heal tumors and cysts right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that person with cervical cancer right now, I know that you're able to heal in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you right now that every disease is subject to you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for opening ears, for opening eyes, Lord God, that are blind. Lord God, for opening spiritual understanding for those that need a discerning spirit, oh God. Lord God, we pray for nations, oh God, over in Europe, Asia, over in African countries, oh God. Father, oh God, we know in Central America, in the Caribbean, we know that you're able to remember those folks, oh God. Lord, I thank you. I give you glory, honor, and praise. Father, you are truly wonderful. God, we thank you for your touch right now. We thank you for that breakthrough anointing, oh God, that's reaching to that one that needs deliverance right now, that one that needs strength right now, that one that needs encouragement right now. God, I thank you for that touch. Go into that home right now. God, go into that car right now. Lord, wherever people will hear this message, Lord, I pray that you would touch right now. Move in that special way. Oh God, touch. God, we know that you're able, oh God, to deliver. We know that you're able, oh God, to set free. God, deliver from every addiction right now. Father, oh God, whether it be drugs or a habit, oh God, we know that you're able to deliver, oh God, even from the nicotine habits that people have developed. God, we know that you're able to deliver. We know that you're able to touch. And Father, we just say thanks to you for delivering your people, oh God, for encouraging your people, for strengthening your people. We thank you right now, and we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, and I hope you know that God is real. different, I hope you know that God is real. There's a song that I really love, and if you've listened to me before, then you've heard this song, I've Decided.
A pure peace and happiness. In a me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed to be blessed. I'm too blessed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later, the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place, Satan. Like jungle, you can't food in a dust pan. And from the nose, the devil can't touch.